Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. Do you believe in magic? Well, is magic working in your life? Would you like more of it? We're going to be talking to the author of a book called The Magical Path, Creating the Life of Your Dreams in a World That Works for All. And he's been a guest on the show before. We're so glad to have him back with his new book. Mark Allen, welcome.
How are you?
Oh, I'm wonderful, thanks. I'm so glad to be talking with you. And this is a wonderful book. I've really enjoyed it. And I must say that even though I've read it, I want to now use it.
Good. I often say it's not even just reading it through that has the effect. It is working with the material.
Exactly. And it's magical, but this is about your life. This is about who you are. You're a magician, and you've created magic in your life. Can you talk a little bit about how that happened?
Well, when I was 21, I stumbled into a little magical bookstore in Madison, Wisconsin. I had just left the University of Minnesota with a theater company. We were touring, and I wandered around one afternoon all alone in Madison and found this bookstore. And it was all these books about Western magic. I'd had no experience with this stuff, and I was just completely overwhelmed. But a guy was sitting back in the corner, apparently the owner or an employee there or something, and I asked him what this stuff is all about, and he proceeded to give me about an hour crash course in what it's all about. And I left with a stack of books. And being fairly lazy and undisciplined, I didn't read any of the big fat books, but there was one skinny little book called The Art of True Healing by Israel Regarding, The Unlimited Power of Prayer and Visualization, that I read and just devoured. And I immediately started doing a very simple meditation from there. It's one of the few things I've done regularly all my life, just this little meditation where you imagine healing light starting at the top of your head and going down through your whole body, healing your whole body. And the first time I did that meditation, I could feel its effects. I got up and felt lighter afterwards, and that's what launched me. Then I wandered around through my 20s and everything, and then the day I turned 30, I did a little magical exercise, just imagining 5 years had passed and everything had gone as well as I could imagine. What would my life look like? And much to my amazement, I dreamed of a publishing company and writing books and recording music, getting into real estate. I'd done none of that. I had no money, no job, nothing at 30. And then I started visualizing it and took the first few steps. And a few years later, I had a company that was working, and I wrote a book called Visionary Business. And in the 11th chapter of Visionary Business, I called it, Consider the Mystical and Spiritual Side of It All. Practice your own form of effective magic. So even back in the early 90s, you know, I started talking about magic even in a business book. I said, one way you can look at it is that it's very simple, practical, effective magic. If you don't like the word magic, fine. Use something else. Use strategic planning if you want. Use creative visualization. Use whatever works for you. The words don't matter. But there are very simple techniques and practices I've found that can really work to change your life and the whole world, actually.
Well, you really do believe that words matter.
Yes. Yes, words matter. That's well put. I like that. I haven't quite heard that phrase put so succinctly. Yes, words matter. Thoughts matter. Words matter.
And this is a book that is very inspiring because it's how to create magic. It's not wishful thinking. Wishful thinking is good, but it's working with wishful thinking. It's how to empower yourself. With so many of the exercises you give, it allows us to reach deeper into ourselves and to realize our dreams on
yes.
paper through words, through vision,
yes.
and to create billboards in the universe.
Right. Yes, the first chapter is all about our thoughts. And yes, wishful thinking is essential to start with. Daring to dream is essential. Then the second chapter is about words. And I like that phrase, words matter. I'm going to use that because I like it. Also, words are essential. First, thoughts and words bring things into matter, end up creating something out of seemingly nothing.
Well, it's interesting what words are, because they actually are symbols of meaning. And when we say the words, we're actually creating a very rich meaning that reverberates.
Yes. Yes, every word does reverberate into the entire universe in a mysterious way, into the entire quantum field. One way I see it, and you can find different words if you want, I always say to people, don't get hung up on the specific words. Just catch the spirit of it and find what works for you in that. But the way I see it is, we have these phenomenal bodies and these amazing brains we use just a tiny part of, and we have this complete connection with something very vast and powerful. You can call it subconscious mind. You can call it the whole universe. You can call it God if you're religious. Whatever it is, we're connected with it, and it is the source of all creation. And we will never understand the mystery of creation, the mystery of birth and life and death. We can't understand it, but we can set it in motion in our lives with very simple techniques.
We can use it.
We can use it, yes.
Yeah.
It's like electricity. I don't really understand electricity. You know, alternate current and direct current, and what that current actually is beyond me to really understand. I don't understand how a TV screen works, but I can use it.
Now, to me, it's very important to differentiate a deep, rich path of self-discovery versus following some idea. Like years ago, there was a book called a movie called The Secret, and it was a very simplistic tool. And a lot of people tried it out and got very discouraged because it led people to want to achieve things that were possibly not what they're here for, to have what, you know, might not be true to them. See, what you were telling me is that you had a vision of what you needed to create in your life, a publishing company, music. These are things that real estate, there was a richness that came from your heart about it. It wasn't an ego-driven thing. And I think there's a differential here between ego-driven and heart-driven. And so what I like in your book is there's so much heart in it. There's so much finding the magic through the light and through your breath and what comes naturally.
Yeah. As you say that, what comes to mind is my previous book, The Greatest Secret of All. I reflected a lot on this and realized every worthwhile desire involves loving and serving other people and ourselves. Loving and serving ourselves and others is really a wonderful key. So that is something like The Secret. Yes, I think there were some things that were not touched in that movie, and that is us reflecting on, do we have a purpose in life? And I do think we have a great purpose. We're passionate about something. What's our passion? What are we passionate about? And when we really look at it, our highest purpose is always loving and serving ourselves and others.
It's interesting because I've been doing shows on evolution. And there are three words that seem to reverberate through evolution in terms of progress. And those three words are truth, beauty, and goodness.
Mm.
And the goodness part is what we're talking about. And and you have, in your book, you emphasize kindness.
Yes. It literally is the higher parts of our brain that have evolved later. You know, the lower brain stem and the reptilian mind is our fight and flight and our fight for survival. And what's evolved on top of that is this amazing cerebral cortex where we do have, what were those three words you summed it up with?
Truth, beauty, and goodness.
Truth, beauty, and goodness, yes, yes. That is definitely the evolving human consciousness.
Right, and those words have been chewed on a lot by philosophers, and there doesn't seem to be better words than that. Even the word love, which people use so much as the bottom line in life, it's you're not going to have love without goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to have goodness without love.
Yeah.
And goodness is more of an action word. Mm-hmm. It gives us purpose. Whereas love is harder to hold as a defined purpose.
Well, I know the word resonates for me. I do often think there are so many kinds of love. I think the Greeks had it right. There's many, many different kinds of love.
That's why.
We lump it into one thing. But in a way, every relationship we have with every person we come into contact with is ideally a different form of love.
Sure. Sure, but then we want to practice goodness because of that.
Yes, yes.
And so goodness is what I think you were talking about, and kindness is how we create magic from that purpose.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's a larger purpose. It's a universal purpose.
Yeah, yeah. I believe we're all here for a great purpose.
Oh, right. And I believe what we're evolving into is a more collective consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a win-win consciousness, whereas we've been coming through a tribal consciousness, which is more about win-lose.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
So,
definitely our purpose is connected with our evolution. We are evolving both individually and as a species. And just individually, I think of the way Maslow put it with our pyramid of human consciousness, He started with a pyramid of human needs, where people on the bottom need food and shelter, and then they move up a little. They get that, they move up. They need security. They get that. They need recovery, health care. Then they finally move up into the realm of education, and that can teach them to get to the top, which he called self-actualization, which I love so much. Well, that pyramid of human needs is really a pyramid of human consciousness. And the way I see it, we're all here to evolve into self-actualization is a wonderful word, or self-realization, or, you know, true fulfillment of our creative potential.
Well, you're doing that in many ways. You're writing books, you're producing music, and music lifts the spirit. And,
yes.
And also, you have a wonderful publishing company. I've interviewed so many of your authors, and you do such a good job in choosing books that really are moving us forward as the way you're speaking.
Yeah. Yeah, agents and authors are always asking, you know, what are you looking for? And all I can say, it's totally vague, but all I can say is we look for projects we love. That's it.
I agree. I love the projects you've done.
Great. Yeah, yeah. Every one of those projects, there's some editor at New World Library that loves it and then pitches it to the rest of the team. And if we get the marketing people behind it and the editor loves it, we do it.
Good. Good. And and there's something magical in your life that has created this. And we're all here for a purpose. Our souls come here to fulfill something. And a lot of us don't feel that we're fulfilling enough. I'm very happy with what I'm doing. This radio show is a blessing for me and for hopefully for my audience and everybody who I interview. And so we come here to give and pursue and enjoy and love. And you're doing that. And your book is so much about finding the magic of that and affirming it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have so many pages of affirmations and different quotes that are beautiful. You talk about it in the beginning of the book about how just to wander through the quotes that you give in the book and put them up, post them.
Yes, something I've done for years and years. Starting in my mid-20s, I found a book called As You Think by James Allen, or As a Man Thinketh is the original. Then I edited it and published it, called it As You Think. Just updated the language a little bit. But I remember taking a big quote from there and putting it on my wall. I had it up for about 15 years till it's just emblazoned in my subconscious. And the quote is, "You will become as great as your dominant aspiration. If you cherish a vision, a lofty ideal in your heart, you will realize it." I just love that quote. I love the absolute authority of it. It's as powerful as Christ just saying, "Ask and you shall receive."
Right.
I've reflected on that a lot. He didn't say, "Ask and you shall receive if you deserve it, or if you're good enough, or if you have enough money, or the right education, or the right background." No, he just said, "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find." End of story. Told with total confidence and authority.
That's powerful. And it shows up in many ways. You've had dreams that have been very enlightening to you.
Yes. Yeah, I tell one dream briefly in the book, but the dream changed my life and was worth years of therapy.
Good.
In a way, I was tricked into all of this by one simple little exercise I did the day I turned 30, where I just dared to imagine. It was something I'd actually played when I was about 22. I tried a back to the land experiment where I lasted, I don't know, 4 or 5 freezing months. It was not a good experiment. But one night around the fire, we were sitting there, and this one couple said, "Let's play a game we play at church camp. Let's imagine 5 years have passed and everything has gone as well as you could imagine. What would your life look like?" And we all went around the fire. We were sitting around the fire, and each one of us spoke. I don't remember a word of what I said at 22, so it had no impact on my life. But the day I turned 30, I woke up in a state of shock. I realized I wasn't a kid anymore. I was broke. A word that I don't think I ever used broke. That's not a good word to use. Never, ever, ever say that. But I was definitely, I had no money. I had no job. And I realized I had no direction. And I thought, this little game of ideal scene that I played, this would be good to do again. But this time I took a sheet of paper and wrote it down. I put ideal scene at the top. I dared to imagine 5 years had passed and I was living the life of my dreams. And it just amazed me what spilled out. Everything started from there, that simple little thing.
And we all have different experiences of manifestation. And it's fascinating to see. I mean, you're obviously a very powerful guy with your vision and your ideas and understandings of yourself, and have been very inspired by others and what you've come across, and this book is one of those things that can inspire others. So you're passing on the opportunity to find inspiration. And I love that. As I said, I'm going to be using your book in a number of ways to create my billboards in the universe. And
that is great. And the older I get, definitely the simpler I see it. And so the clearer I can make it. And I see, just looking back, there's really just two essential things. We're all very different. We have a very different path. We all have a different mind, different experience, and different backgrounds. We all have a very different way of doing things. But as far as I see it, there's two essential things. One, you dare to dream that ideal. Dare to dream of the life you want in 5 years. dare to imagine what it is. Put it in writing and see that the first few steps to take there are small, little, easy-to-take steps. Then the only other essential thing, as far as I see it, are dealing with the doubts and fears that inevitably arise when you dare dream. What happens? Doubts and fears come up. I remember them vividly, being nearly just overwhelmed by them the day of my 30th birthday when I dared do my ideal scene. But I got around them, and I got around them in many different ways. Even that dream that you mentioned overcame a lot of doubts and fears. Or I found affirmations. I kept affirming that I was creating a successful business in an easy and relaxed manner, in a healthy and positive way. And I even remember arguing with my doubts and fears the day I turned 30, because I said, I want this whole dream. I want a publishing company. I want to write books. I want to record music. I want to get into real estate. They said, way too much, Mark. And as I thought it through, daring to dream my ideal, I even said, and I want a life of ease. I don't want to work too hard. I want to sleep late. I don't do mornings. I got up early for you.
Thank you.
I'm going to go back to bed right afterwards. I don't do mornings. I don't do Mondays. I just work when I feel like it. Well, doubts and fears, I remember vividly just said, impossible. Impossible. You've got to work 40 to 50 hours a week at least to start your own company. And I got around them by saying, look, let me try it as an experiment. I heard of Buckminster Fuller describing his life as an experiment. And I grabbed onto that word. I said, let me try this as an experiment. I'm going to go for my dreams, but do it in my own lazy way. I'm going to work when I feel like it and goof off and play music and do nothing when I feel like it. They said, won't work. I said, well, look, if it doesn't work, I'll be no worse off than I am now. I had no job. I had no money. And even my doubts and fears, I had to say, well, yeah, that's true.
So the magic really had to be with you.
So it really is just that inner work of first daring to dream, then dealing with those doubts and fears. Eckhart sums it up in The Power of Now. Eckhart Tolle put so beautifully what, in a way, my whole book is about, where he just said, get the inside right, and the outside will fall into place.
Right. Now, I have a take on that that's happened many times in my life, where I don't lose my intention, but I give up on my effort.
Good. Yes, that's good.
And as soon as I give up on my effort, and this is really legitimate, not fake give up on my effort, but really tired and saying, you know, it's okay. I don't have to have that. I still want it, but I'm okay without it. As soon as I say that, it shows up.
As soon as you let go of it.
Yeah.
That's good. I like that.
And it's been so consistent.
I started trying to read Think and Grow Rich, I remember, and I came to a place, as I remember, maybe I'm misquoting, but I remember it saying something about your intention has to be a burning obsession, a single burning obsession. I remember thinking, that's obsessive.
Yeah.
I don't want to have a single burning obsession. I want to enjoy each moment of life.
Right. That burning obsession would be much too ego-driven and would probably be not as sensitive to your heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, your heart might initiate it, but then your ego might take over. And in not letting it go, you're not sensitive to all the energies going on around you.
Yeah, yeah.
So obviously in your music, in your time off, you've let the universe work for you.
The ultimate answer really is always in our heart, isn't it? That is the solution. I talk about, in a way, the mystical side of creation in The Magical Path, and I try to simplify it for myself as simply as I can put it. And I have a chapter on the Kabbalah, which is a map of creation, and I have a real simplified version of Kabbalah as I understand it. And it basically is just getting a clear idea in your mind, hopefully one that comes from spirit, but a clear thought, a clear focused idea of that dream or goal, and then keeping the energy of your heart behind it. So you get heart and mind completely working together without being distracted left or right, or not being mentally distracted by doubts and fears, not being distracted by even, I mean, many people who have a great idea, but then they even, oh, they have another idea and a more expansive idea, and it gets so expansive, they never get started on it.
Right, right.
But I've just seen you just, it's so simple. Just keep one focused idea, take the first few steps, and keep loving it. Keep your heart behind it. If you get frustrated, find that way back to your heart.
Right, it's
doing
about
what you love.
It sounds like what you're saying is to find the resonance and live with that, the simplicity of a resonant idea, of a resonant vision.
Resonant. Yes, I think so.
That's what it sounds like.
It can be summed up in do what you love. I used to think, years ago I did a book called A Visionary Life, and I thought maybe you had to be in sort of a loving place like 51% of the time to really achieve your dreams. And I wasn't sure about that as I wrote it. I was just kind of looking at my life, you know, looking back.
It sounds very effortful.
It does. And then maybe 10 years ago or so, I heard a great analogy that a plane when flying is off course over 95% of the time. Uh-huh. But the pilot just keeps correcting over and over, and it reaches its destination. When I heard that, I thought, that's the story of my life. Maybe we can be off course 95% of the time, or more even. But if we keep correcting over and over and over, right, we'll reach our destination.
Right. Trusting the process.
Yeah.
This is beautiful. We only have a few minutes left, and I've so enjoyed talking with you, and I'm very excited. I think everybody should be buying this book and using it because it's an inspiration to become more powerful in the magic of who we are. And you've done a great job.
Thank you so much, Peter. I'm so glad you get the book, obviously.
I'm glad I got it. and so much fun talking with you. You have a lot to say, and also the book is filled with ideas and inspirations and work opportunities for ourselves to write down affirmations and to live in our dream, to write down our dream, and to understand ourselves better in terms of how we think about money and matter, and to come to a more open and freer place in ourselves.
Yes, it kept growing. It's a pretty vast book, so I tell people, just roam around in it. You don't have to read it straight through or anything. Roam around in it. I put all the important stuff in bold and just grab what appeals to you and
great.
Work with it a bit and see what happens.
Thanks, Mark Allen. You're a wonderful guy.
Peter.
I'm so glad you're doing what you're doing. The Magical Path is the name of the book. And I'm so glad you could be on Energy Steel.
Thanks, Peter. I'm glad you're doing what you're doing.
Thank you. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Steel at Progressive Radio Network. .com. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org, or 212-222-7748. And thank you so much for listening.